You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. What's up, Bills Mafia? And I regret to inform everyone, I'm excited for the hockey game tonight. It's a personal decision on my own part. I'm excited for the hockey game tonight. Sal joins us on the Western Hotline. Sabres and Penguins. Turnaround starts now. Sal, the vibes are off the charts. The Sabres snapped their losing streak. They beat Florida. The Bills snapped their losing streak. They traded for a wide receiver. Like, we're just all good from here on. That's my prediction. Nothing bad.
Yeah, Yankees won last night.
All right, I'll allow that. I had a Mets. The Mets had a win. I'm happy for them. Nothing bad anymore. Hey, good morning, Sal. How are you?
I'm great. Did you see elite, like, social media-ing by the Bills after the game on Monday night?
Was it the great night for New York sports?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It was really good.
Yeah. Did you appreciate...
That's great. And then the other one yesterday... Sorry, Joe, real quick. Okay. The other one yesterday was how, like, the chemistry is already there between Allen and Cooper. And as has, like, the Bills' own account tweeted, like, Allen rolling out and throwing one away, but Cooper catching it on the sidelines against the Browns. It was great.
I appreciated that one, too. It's great.
Did you appreciate on Monday night, Sal, that the Jets, which I thought it was always Jets-Mets, but there's a lot of crossover, I'm sure, that during the TV timeouts, they would put the Yankee game on the Jumbotrons. Like, not even just like, hey, here's the score. Like, they had the live game, like, on the screens.
I did, and I don't know, Joe, when you walked into the stadium, they were doing that for the Mets as well until that game ended.
Okay,
so like, I know you probably came in, like, so during pregame warmups, I'm sure you probably weren't there for the whole 2 hours the gates opened.
Right.
Maybe you were, but they had that happening for the Mets game, and then the Mets ended. They would do that then for the Yankees game. Like, they kept putting it on. Actually, until the game started, they had a lot more of it because, you know, there's no game to show, and it's not TV timeouts. They did that. And at one point, actually, it was kind of interesting. There was the Yankees were up 2-0, and they had a runner on third. It's a TV timeout. And the Guardians throw it, and you could see the wild pitch just start to happen, and everybody in the stands like, ah, and then they cut right back to the game, and like, crowd goes, oh, because they couldn't see it on the video board anymore.
Yep.
Well, Sal, the big news of the day, I mentioned earlier, we were going to give you the morning off, and you're like, as I'm walking out yesterday, said, whatever, we'll see if something happens. And then soon after... You know, pretty big something happened. The Bills go out and trade for Amari Cooper, which, you know, this had been a name Bills fans that are paying attention had been looking into as someone that was someone you could acquire. Not the same as Davante Adams for the money. So that always made sense. Like, if the Bills want to get this done, they can offer up a package and they can get it done. And ultimately they do. It's less than a third round pick. That's the way I want to say it. They gave up a third, and they also move up from the seventh to the sixth in two different drafts, whatever. How do you like the price, and what does it mean for what the Bills are looking to get out of Amari Cooper?
Well, I think the price has got to be, you know, looked at as something that obviously is affordable for the Bills when you have two second rounders and a situation where, you know, they're trying to strike now.
Three-fourths, right? I mean, there's
What's that?
They're going to have three-fourths, too.
That's right. So just look at the big, you know, picture overall here. And this is something we've talked about, and I mentioned a lot here the last few weeks, which is the Bills didn't go into this year saying, okay, you know, we're going to take a step back and reset. I think a lot of people anticipated that. Well, we did hear Brandon Breen said it's transition year. I think it was a year where they wanted to, they felt good about how well they'd compete. They have Josh Allen. Let's see where things go. Suddenly, guys, after 6 weeks, you're looking around going, this is our division. Like, we have a chance to take this thing, and we can wrap this up and really put our foot down on this. Now you look around the conference and say, okay, yeah, we've lost a couple games here, but we still have the same record as Baltimore, and, you know, Houston's got to do their thing, and Kansas City has a bunch of injuries. We still play Kansas City. Like, they have a serious look at, you know, a higher seed in the AFC playoffs here, and now you'd say, all right, regardless of what you thought about, like, how this year was going to go or what you wanted to see out of it, you have a serious chance here to make the same kind of run that you've made over the last few years. So you evaluate your team and say, let's strike, let's do it. And you make this move because of that. You become a buyer, not a seller. Not that they would have been necessarily. But they also could have just played it out and said, yeah, we knew this would be a transition year. But now you give up some of that draft capital because you have a chance here to really compete in the AFC once again like you have the last few years. So that's one part of it. Then you look at the compensation and say, A, they already have extra draft capital last year. They have those two second rounders. They have extra fourth rounders. So that from that standpoint, you can afford to do it. And, you know, it's not something that really, you know, takes away from what you're trying to accomplish. And then B, you don't have to pay him anything really other than less than $1 million. He's, you know, $800,000 in the salary cap, which gets me to the final point, which is I think the timing is super interesting after the Devontae Adams trade. Now, we may hear from Brandon Bean today. We may not. At some point, we're going to talk to him, right? And I'm sure that one of the first questions will be about the timing of this trade and how it coincided, possibly. Did it matter, Devontae Adams? Now, I don't expect Brandon Bean to say, well, we really wanted Devontae Adams over Amari Cooper. I'm not expecting that at all. But I do think that market had to matter here with Devontae Adams. And the fact that Adams gets traded and then we find out, okay, he really wanted to play with the Jets. The Jets are eating all this money. All of a sudden, the Bills trade for Cooper. Was it a case where, hey, we'll monitor Adams, and if we can get this down to where we can make it work salary-wise, maybe that's something we'll do. If not, we're going to pivot, and we're going to go to Amari Cooper, which was always kind of a thing that we all talked about anyway that they could wind up doing for the financials. So to me, the timing was super interesting how all this went down as well.
Yeah, tons of reporting throughout that the Bills were not out on Adams, and you know, we wondered if they'd be willing to pay whatever price it was. And yeah, I'm with you, Sal. Like, I don't know how Bean addresses that and has an answer for that, but the immediacy right after, like, okay, you pick up the phone, say, let's do the deal. They might have had it already in place. Like, we want to see what happens with Adams, and if that doesn't go down, we'll call you right away. Like, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. And, you know, I don't think these things happen, you know, necessarily. They can come together very, very quickly, right? But generally, it takes a little while. You make a phone call here, a phone call there. Remember the Rasul Douglas trade last year, if I remember correctly. Yeah. They made the trade during the trade deadline, but they said they checked in on him before that, a couple weeks before
and
that. And there, said, hey, you know,
and there were reports they were after Jonathan Jones or Jalen Johnson. Thank you,
right.
Jalen Johnson. So, like, yeah, maybe when we start to hear that they're in on a player, like, all right, let's look around the position because they're not going to just, you know, they're not going to lock themselves into one idea.
For that, you kind of need circumstances to fall your way, too, right? Because they could have, who knows, like, Sal, when they would have checked in for the first time on Cooper. It could have been as far back as when, I don't know, they restructured the deal or the offseason. But you might need, or it would help, I'm sure, when Cleveland's season starts falling apart. That's how you can eventually get to making a trade like this.
Yeah, and what happens if Cleveland wins this past week over Philly? Are they in a situation where they still want to make a deal? They might feel that they're just not quite there yet. And now, the other part of it is, the timing-wise, we're still a few weeks before the trade deadline. This is not a deal you make right at the trade deadline, where it's a little bit later in the year. You have a few extra weeks here than you normally would in a situation like this to get him in, get him acclimated, get him up to speed. I do find it interesting, though, that the Bills have already moved on from a wide receiver, leaving themselves with only five. Now, of course, they could always elevate Tyrell Shavers or KJ Hamler or someone like that. So, you know, it's not like you have to have him on the field, but the indication is, you know, you already move on from MVS, which is the move they made yesterday. You know, he comes in here, you're going to try and get him up to speed as quick as possible to get him on the field. And guys, I mean, Monday night didn't alleviate a ton of concerns at the wide receiver spot for me. It was better than it was on the previous 2 weeks against Houston and Baltimore, but there were still a lot of the same issues that we've talked about. Throughout most of the game, the Bills were not targeting wide receivers. At the end of the day, they targeted all of their wide receivers a total of 12 times. 9 catches for 12 yards, or for 12 targets, is a nice ratio, but that's not enough. They have to have more out of that group. They have to have more production out of that group. Their highest, most targeted wide receiver only had 4. Their most catches they had was only 3. So this is a move, I think, when you take everything into account, going back all offseason, and Jeremy's train, and everything else that we talked about, I think you finally arrive at, okay, we just have to help this group more than maybe they thought they would. Who knows what the thought was going into the year? I know, you know, Mike and Chris bring this up a lot, and Mike always wonders, did the Bills always think that this could happen, or were they super confident and wouldn't happen and they had to pivot? Right? I think that's something we're wondering as well. And again, I don't expect Brandon Bean to necessarily tell us that publicly, but, you know, it could always be very fluid on how these things work out. And look at Curtis Samuel, his lack of production so far, right? I don't think that that was necessarily something they expected at this point. But this is a move that this group, this team, this roster needed to make. And I'll say this. You have to work really, really hard, I think, guys, to not like it for the Bills, right?
Yep. Yep.
Like, if someone's out, if some fan is out there today bashing this trade, then to me, you already come in with an agenda. I mean, I really don't understand, like, what you could. I'm not telling you it's the greatest trade in the world. I'm not telling you they're winning the Super Bowl because of the trade. That's not what I'm saying. But I don't know how you can get to this is a bad trade for the Bills. The financials are perfect for the Bills. The compensation is not extraordinary. And he's a really good player who's had 7 1,000-yard seasons in this league who just turned 30 years old.
803-0550. We'll get more on this Cooper trade. Let some of you callers that are on hold kind of direct us, and we'll talk all around it, the fallout, what it means, how it affects the offense. Mo in New Jersey is going to join the conversation. Hey, Mo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good, thanks.
The only thing I can think of that anybody would say that this is not a good trade is, like, okay, he's the same exact age as Diggs. If you were saying Diggs is on the wrong side of 30, you'll say the same thing about Amari Cooper. I think they've both been in the league for about 10 years, but this guy comes without the package. He's been traded 4 times. Not one of those times did he complain, say, I want out, even if his situation at the time was terrible, right? Diggs is the complete opposite. He comes with the baggage now. If you say, let's compare apples to apples, I do think Diggs has a little bit better of a skill set. But this guy, Amari Cooper, is exactly what we need. I think he's going to fit in well with the group of guys that we have. He's going to come in, he's going to do his work, and not complain. And, you know, if it works out really well, maybe we can extend him. That would probably be the best-case scenario. But I also think if he comes in, he's going to allow everybody else to go to their more natural positions. He's going to take the attention of maybe, you know, like a 2X or a number one would come in, he would garner the attention on the outside. It'll open up things for the other guys, right? Samuel could go to a more natural position, things that he's more used to. Maybe he come out of the backfield a little bit. He could do some gadget things with him. Bowman no longer has to worry about taking the one, you know, the top corner from the other team or whoever, you know what I mean? But the attention's not going to be on Coleman anymore.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
And he gets open with his routes. That's the one thing I feel like we haven't had this season. Is a true one that can get open with his routes. It's not going to be Josh scrambling for his life, making the plays happen. Cooper can get open, and Josh can throw it to him or somebody else because he's going to run his routes correctly. He's going to be where he's supposed to be and get the, you know, separation needed to get open. So I love this move. I love this trade. I've been saying it for weeks, and I'm so happy that they got it done yesterday.
Thanks, Mo. You know, on the slotting other guys in, One spot I'm going to wonder about, Sal. So this could probably be good for Keon Coleman in terms of development, having a leader in the room that has, you know, whatever, done a lot in the league. Like, if you're looking for Keon Coleman to get that guidance from somebody, there's not really anybody I don't think, in that room. Not to say Curtis Samuel can't help him, but this is a different caliber of player. So there's the benefit that Coleman might get from being in the room with an Amari Cooper. And there's also the flexibility. They've been playing Coleman almost exclusively on the outside, and there are lots of people that think he could flourish in the slot. I wonder if Cooper doesn't kind of free Coleman up a little bit to move around the formation.
Yeah, I still wonder if it's... I don't doubt that Keon Coleman could play well in the slot. I just wonder if that's a little too much to put on him right now as a rookie. And I think that could be part of it too, right? Where, okay, we start doing that, you know, he instead of focusing on some things he could really hone in on and be really good at, are you spreading him too thin? Because now it's a different release. There's different angles you have to take. You know, there's obviously different play calls, but there's a lot of things that have to go into that. And I just don't know if maybe he's ready for that. But here we are, 6 weeks into his rookie year, and if they feel that maybe they can start doing some of that with him, certainly, you know, that would be an option here for that to happen. I agree that, you know, it allows people to play a little bit differently in different spots in the field. But what it really does for me is forces the defense to kind of concentrate a little bit more on that X receiver, on Amari Cooper, on someone that's going to get a little bit more attention. Not that you're necessarily going to put your best corner on him all the time. You're going to double him all the time. But at least, hey, there's a third down and six. Like, you might need to be aware where Amari Cooper is, right? He's that guy that can make a big play on you here at this moment. And I think that's what Joe Brady kind of has always wanted to get out of this offense, which is, you know, I can go to anywhere I want. But if you have that one guy that they have to think about a little bit more, you know, that might help them. The everybody eats mentality is great in concept, and it was working for a while. But as I've said since the beginning of this, one of the issues is when it comes time to a big third down, like, who's your go-to guy, and do you have that person on your roster? Maybe this is the guy that they're looking for that.
One very interesting thing about this, Joe's pointed out Amari Cooper's average depth of target. Like, in this offense, in this mm-hmm. Brady offense, it's a lot of more quick throws, shorter throws, yards after catch. And that's not exactly what Cooper has been in his career. He's been a down-the-field guy. One of the stats we have is, in Cleveland, the air yards to Cooper this year, it's about 700. And the entire Bills receiver core is 800. So this is more of a down-the-field guy. I wonder if this Bills offense doesn't think they need to stretch the field, not necessarily over top of safeties, but just threaten a little bit more in the intermediate and long passing game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wonder if that's the case as well. I'm looking at right now... his average length of reception. So if you take just his receptions on the season, he's averaging, he's top 25, he's 23rd in the NFL at 10.25. Average length of reception. Yards per catch is way down, but again, that's a lot of it is, you know, circumstance, and Deshaun Watson, there's been a lot written about, you know, the struggles there. Now, he's had some drops in his career, right? I mean, we know that. Yeah, I think this year he's had some drops. So those are things that you're going to have to look at, and maybe you live with something like that happens, you know, down the road. It hasn't been the most consistent when it comes to catching the ball. The catch percentage for his career is, you know, low 60s%. But this can be a very big play guy. Such a big play guy that, I mean, last night I was looking at some numbers. Amari Cooper has 4 200-yard receiving games in his career. I don't know if you guys, I tweeted this out. Do you know what the NFL record is?
Ooh, it can't be much higher. Is it like 6 or 7?
5.
Okay.
Calvin Johnson and Lance Allworth have 5 200-yard receiving games. Amari Cooper has 4, tied with Jerry Rice and Don Hudson and Charlie Hennigan. I mean, like, those are the names that he's with, and that's how big of a player he can be. He's less than 300 yards away from 10,000 in his career, so he's going to get that in a Bills uniform most likely. You know, that'll be something, a milestone to watch for over the next, you know, several weeks here. He's had 7 1,000-yard seasons. He's been a big play guy in his career. He's put up big numbers. In fact, I think that, like, a few weeks ago, this is before the trade, Shopin Bulldog and I were all talking about how he actually has put up, like, a lot of numbers that have gone under the radar for a guy in this, you know, generation of football, because all these other receivers put up these great numbers. Here's Amari Cooper kind of flying under the radar with some of the best numbers. He's top 10, basically, of all active players. And, yeah, he's been in the league a little while. He's only 30 years old. It's not like he's 35, 36 years old. And he's top 10 in pretty much every statistical category with all active wide receivers. Part of the issue, though, has been, he's on the Raiders, who were not good. He's on the Cowboys, had some decent years, obviously, but they haven't been great. And then he's been on the Cleveland Browns. You go back to the Cowboys, by the way. One of the connections here, the Bills wide receivers coach, Adam Henry, was Cooper's wide receivers coach in Dallas for 2 years. 2020 and 2021. And he had great years there, but, you know, he's had really good years, I should say. He had 92 catches 1 year there. Not saying that, you know, he was the reason why, because those are actually in line with a lot of things he's already done. But the familiarity certainly matters. That's not a move you make. This is not a move you make, probably, I would guess, without Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott saying to Adam Henry, hey, is this guy a problem? Tell us a little bit about him. Yeah. And I asked Sean McDermott about that yesterday. McDermott said he had a good conversation with Henry, and he gave, you know, good reviews and, you know, a lot of really nice things to say about Amari Cooper. And I think those things matter as well.
To Cleveland next. David is in Cleveland. Hey, David, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. So yesterday you and I spoke briefly about trying to figure out what the Bills' identity was and what Bean was deciding to do about their strategy on offense and not being able to defend the run, and their style of offense didn't meld well with what they were doing defensively. And I think Brandon Bean yesterday afternoon answered that question. I think he realized that, you know, things in the receiver room were where they needed to be, which is great. I think Amari Cooper's a great addition. I think we have to be concerned about the drops, but to a lesser degree, if you look at who's been throwing him the ball, sitting here in Cleveland watching the Browns play on TV, I mean, the ball placement for Deshaun Watson is horrendous. You know, they end up talking about drops, but some of that has to do with where the ball is being placed. If you look at where Amari Cooper's played in the past and had success, he's had quarterbacks with relatively good accuracy. And I think Josh Allen, with his arm talent, I think is going to bring out the best in Amari Cooper. And I think I'm hopeful that this is going to open things up like people have been talking about underneath for Shakir. And then the second piece I wanted to get your take on is I've seen chatter on the internet about perhaps the Bills dealing Von Miller in the next couple of weeks before the deadline, because, you know, now Brandon Breed's looking at his roster going, where are my weaknesses? Receiver room addressed. Now, run defense. So can I deal Von Miller and get some assets perhaps in a trade to shore up the run defense? I wanted to get your take on that.
Thanks, David. I've not seen anything like that, Sal. I mean, he's suspended for a couple of weeks. And this is what I would say to you, David, Sal, get your thought. They've stood with him through this, and he's produced for them this year. I'd be stunned if they decided to get away from it.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. He does have a very low base salary. Like, another team could take that on, but I don't know why. Like, are other teams even looking to do that? Like, who's trading for him? And, you know, I don't know at his age or whatever. And I will say this, the Bills, yeah, he's done well when he's been on the field. And the Bills also, I know they had a couple sacks last week. The Bills also need a little bit more of a pass rush. Von Miller actually helps this team. It's not a guy that's going to hurt this. It's not a guy that you're looking to deal because he's not helping them. So I don't know. I haven't seen that other than people just asking, like, could they do it? But I have not seen anything that leads me to any reason why that would be happening at all with Von Miller.
So Capaccio on the Western Hotline as we get reaction to the Amari Cooper trade. Anything else happened yesterday, Zell? Is Ray Davis the new number one? I mean, everybody's really excited about Ray Davis and what he brings to the table.
You mean, is he the new number one Bills running back?
I'm kidding. I wonder if
I've seen people say that as well I mean, I'm just here to tell everybody, let me just remind everybody, it's okay to have multiple good players at a position. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to just move on from someone who's good because someone else becomes good as well. You can actually have multiple guys who are good at a position, right? It's so funny. Oh my God, this is the guy. Trade James Cook. No, James Cook is still really good. And he's a dynamic running back who does a lot for this offense. I actually think in this game against the Jets, when it was kind of, you know, okay, James Cook might not play, you know, obviously you don't know what Ray Davis is going to do or Ty Johnson, but to me, all week it was, okay, but against this team, that might not be the worst thing to feed the ball to a couple of physical running backs who are going to go straight forward. And that's what they did.
Yeah. The physical running back role is another one they've been chasing for a couple of years. Maybe they finally have landed on one.
Oh, I mean, he looked really good, right? And he takes that. Him and Ty Johnson both, you know, they take that personal. Like, they love running like that. That's their style. That's what they want. Ray Davis especially. I think it's a really good compliment. I remember the very first week, right before there was a pregame interview on the radio broadcast. Either Eric or Chris, my apologies, interviewed Brandon Bean, and that was the pregame radio interview. And asked, I think it was Chris, whoever it was, Eric said, "What has surprised you? Anything about this team?" And Brandon said, "I'm not surprised." He said, but Brandon Bean said, "I think we might have the best running back room since I've been here." And that was really interesting to me. He said that in week one. Like, they've been really confident in this group, you know, ever since they drafted Ray Davis and what they've done here. They really like their running back room, and they should. No, maybe if you want to do a Barnes injury report, I'll tell you yesterday, Sean McDermott said, really good news, no significant, you know, injury news coming out of the game, some minor bumps and bruises that you might see, you know, throughout the week at practice, but that's really good news. And I told you guys the other day, the blue tent was never up during the game. I never got any sort of injury news on anybody during the game, which is great news. And he said that, you know, they're hopeful, you know, to get both Ed Oliver and James Cook back, you know, soon here. So maybe this week. This could be, let's see how it goes, right? But just from the indication there, this could wind up being like the healthiest this team has been in a while this week against the Titans. We'll see.
And now we wait to see how long it takes Cooper to kind of spin up and be ready to go for these Bills. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
The Barnes Injury Report there, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. More your calls as we roll through the morning here. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, his take on this trade, what Amari Cooper brings specifically to this passing offense. Learned this morning on listening to Locked On Bills that Cooper's been a favorite of Joe's for quite some time. So gets a player that he likes, the Bills do. We'll talk about that with Joe Marino on the other side and take more of your calls as well. 803-0550 on WGR.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.